Next on the 5 o'clock report.
If it's legal, we'll do it.
We need money.
There's less rescues, more deaths.
The vast majority of people just are not there right now.
If you know your history, you'll never take it for granted.
Now, let's go to the newsroom.
The Bidens tour Kentucky. Good afternoon. Thank you for tuning in. I'm Mark Webster.
I promise you, if it's legal, we'll do it.
The President and First Lady Joe Biden in Kentucky this afternoon to assess damages from deadly flooding in the eastern part of the Commonwealth. The President took time to praise first responders there.
First responders, at least up until not too long ago, were kind of taken for granted around the country. Not now, after COVID and so many other things.
Now, what's next for eastern Kentucky? Flood survivor Jeff Hawkins has some definite ideas.
We need money beyond a commitment to help. We need immediately the resources that are necessary to rebuild the infrastructure and invest in the people who are here.
President Biden sat in on a progress update with local, state, and FEMA officials, also toured some of the flood damage by helicopter. While Democrats are celebrating Senate passage of Biden's sweeping economic and climate change bill, consumers aren't feeling so confident about the housing market, as inflation and high mortgage rates are pricing many homebuyers right out of the market. Fannie Mae revealing just 17% of folks surveyed last month said it's the right time to purchase a home. It hasn't been that low since 2011. Relaxing COVID restrictions? A leaked draft report from the Biden administration indicates that federal health officials are contemplating just that in advance of the upcoming school year. Hamburg, New York school superintendent Michael Cornell says easing classroom COVID restrictions makes sense to him.
We have to focus on is making sure our kids experience joy, value, and connection in school.
Elsewhere, a new poll is out on how Americans feel about immigration.
27% of Americans think immigration should be increased. 31% prefer it be kept at current levels, and 38% want fewer immigrants allowed into the U.S. That's according to a new Gallup poll. More Americans have wanted immigration decreased in recent years.
CBS's Jim Krasula. Texas is now experiencing one of the hottest summers on record, and it comes as the surge of illegal immigration there goes on. Border Congressman Henry Cuellar says asylum seekers are collapsing from heat exhaustion.
There's been an increase of deaths. There's less rescues, more deaths.
The Democrat says the trend will continue as record numbers of illegal immigrants are shuttled across the border by the cartels. Many are abandoned in the South Texas brush country. Those who survive the heat are treated in border hospitals, which is putting strain on South Texas health care systems. And the New York City Council is holding a hearing tomorrow regarding an increase in asylum seekers. This comes after another busload of migrants arrived from Texas yesterday. Republican Governor Greg Abbott says the Lone Star State will continue to bus migrants who have crossed the border illegally to New York City and Washington, D.C. in protest of President Biden's immigration policies. One Republican congresswoman says she favors a centrist approach to the issue of abortion rights.
Both sides have these extremities where the vast majority of people just are not there right now. And there has to be a place for the center on this very emotional issue.
Appearing on NBC's Meet the Press, South Carolina Representative Nancy Mace rejected bans that didn't include exceptions for rape and incest. She also called for guaranteed access to contraception and making sure that the health and safety of the mother are kept at the forefront. Internationally now, UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres condemning a rocket attack on a nuclear power plant in southern Ukraine. He said attacking nuclear plants was suicidal and called for a team of international inspectors to be allowed to visit the facility. Here's more from Trent Murray.
The International Atomic Energy Agency has expressed grave concern over the rocket attacks on the Zaporizhzhia nuclear power plant. Russia captured the plant early in March, but has kept Ukrainian staff on site to keep it operational. Western officials say that Moscow is using the site as a military fortress to launch attacks on Ukraine. Experts say such buildings don't have the same levels of concrete protection as reactors, raising concerns about radioactive leakage. Trent Murray, Berlin.
Now to Taiwan. Chinese planes, ships, and missiles continue to fly around the Taiwan Straits. Even though China had said they would end live-fire military exercises there over the weekend, former CIA station chief Dan Hoffman tells Fox News China is getting desperate.
Time is not on their side anymore. As each year goes by, Taiwan citizens grow ever more committed to the democracy that Taiwan has built for its 23 million people. And I think China understands that, and they know that their only option at this point is coercion.
Senator Lindsey Graham is urging the Biden administration to take a strong stance against Chinese aggression.
To sanction China for cyber attacks on this democracy called Taiwan.
the right response is to push back against a bully, not cower.
Appearing on CNN's State of the Union, the South Carolina Republican said he agreed with House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's decision to visit Taiwan. Graham said, though, that right response is to push back against a bully and not cower. A Middle East ceasefire seems to be holding for the moment. Emmanuel Fabian, military correspondent for the Times of Israel, tells the BBC.
Once the leader of Islamic Jihad in northern Gaza and the threat of the attack on the border was essentially removed, then the only goals left was to prevent further rocket fire on Israel.
Staying in the Middle East, the U.S. is apparently preparing to seal a deal to resurrect the 2015 Iran nuclear agreement. A State Department spokesperson said Tehran is ready to return to a mutual agreement based on proposals from the European Union. The spokesperson told Reuters, quote, "Let's see if their actions match their words." And a couple of very popular people who both had a way with words have passed away. Bring all your dreams alive. Pop singer Olivia Newton-John, dead at the age of 73. The pop singer became a sensation back in the 70s with hits such as Have You Never Been Mellow. She passed away today in Southern California. She was first diagnosed with breast cancer back in 1992. However, the cancer reappeared in May 2017 and it spread to her lower back, before reappearing again a third time in September of 2018. And Pulitzer Prize-winning historian, writer, and film narrator David McCullough has also died. His daughter confirmed to the New York Times her father passed away at age 89. McCullough, a giant among writers of history, particularly for his exhaustive biographies of Presidents Harry Truman and John Adams, the latter made into a popular HBO miniseries. The Pittsburgh native's writing advice?
Write and rewrite. The book that influenced me most was Strunk and White's Elements of Style. And really, truly, in that fifth chapter that E.B. White wrote, where he stresses the importance of rewriting, learn to edit yourself and to be clear, not to be fancy, not to be nifty dandy, watch me do my backstrokes and all that.
In 2017, McCullough spoke to CBS News about a subject he knew well, the American spirit.
And I like to stress that if you know your history, if you know your country's story, the human side of the story, you'll never take it for granted. Mm-hmm. And you'll always be grateful to those who went before us.
David McCullough, dead at age 89. Still to come on the 5 o'clock report, bad news concerning children in Syracuse, the future of farming in New York, and prominent Republican headed to Pennsylvania to help out a candidate.
Hi, I'm Kevin Williams, and here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. For tonight, considerable cloudiness, muggy and warm. Waves of showers and thunderstorms cross the area with localized drenching downpours and low temperatures in the mid-60s to the low 70s. For tomorrow, still humid, but cooler than today. Variable clouds, some sunshine, some showers and thunderstorms still in the area. High temps, 70s to mid-80s. Then Wednesday is a nice day across New York. Stay mostly sunny, less humid near 80. Sun and clouds with a thundershower chance in Pennsylvania with high temperatures mid-70s to the middle-80s.
All right, thank you very much, Kevin. Now checking the stories making news where you live across New York and Pennsylvania. Syracuse comes in as the top U.S. city for childhood poverty.
Mark, the latest data from the Census Bureau reveals that nearly half of kids under 18 years old are living in lack in the Salt City. That's nearly 15,000 children. For a family of four, poverty means an annual income of less than $26,000. Syracuse's poverty rate has surpassed every other city with a population of at least 100,000. Neediness also showing up in number two ranked Rochester, and Buffalo ranked in sixth place. Tracy Lynn, Family Life News.
All right, thank you, Tracy. Now to Western New York, an 86-year-old Amherst woman who was reported missing has been located. We get that story from Family Life's Dee Haley.
An 86-year-old woman with dementia was reported missing yesterday afternoon in Amherst. She was located early this morning. A missing vulnerable adult alert was issued by the Department of Justice for Leona Ordway, including her vehicle information. Amherst police are thanking the public for assistance in finding her. She was located shortly after 1 o'clock this morning. Dee Haley, Family Life News.
Thank you, Dee. The future of farming in peril in New York.
To work as hard as all of us in this business do and be upside down on profit, it's a very, very frustrating situation.
John Hand is a fourth generation fruit and vegetable grower in New York's North Country.
This is becoming an increasingly difficult occupation. The regulatory environment is crippling.
Hand owns a 425-acre crop farm in Washington County. He tells Spectrum News,
it keeps me up at night. tonight with the rapid rise in all the fuel costs, the fertilizer costs, and the labor costs. How do we bring profitability back into the smaller farms?
Assemblywoman Carrie Warner says the aging population of farmers and the loss of farmland is what keeps her up at night.
Farmers have gotten older. We've lost more farmland to development. So protecting local agriculture, I think, has got to be a really major policy initiative in this state.
She's pushing for legislation to attract more young New Yorkers to the farming profession.
Some of it is expanding the FFA programs and the Ag in the Classroom programs to teach young kids from the early on how you grow food and where food comes from.
New York is home to more than 33,000 farms, and despite the challenges, agriculture remains New York's number one industry. A CDC team dispatched to Rockland County, New York, to investigate America's first polio case in nearly a decade.
An unvaccinated Rockland County man tested positive for polio last month. Since then, polio virus has been detected in wastewater samples in both Rockland and Orange counties. State Health Commissioner Dr. Mary Bassett says she's concerned that hundreds of New Yorkers could be infected with the potentially paralytic virus. The CDC is investigating and will also help with polio shots. Anyone who's unvaccinated is urged to get immunized. Sarah Lee Kessler, NBC News Radio, New York.
Pennsylvania now. A big name is going to help Republican candidate for Governor Doug Mastriano on the campaign trail. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis will appear with Mastriano at a Pittsburgh event August 19th. The United and Win rally will be held at the David Lawrence Convention Center. The doors will open at 3:30. Mastriano speaking at 4:30. DeSantis at 5. The future of football is up in the air in Sarah, Pennsylvania. Tensions high last week at a school board meeting where the decision was made to cancel the varsity team this fall. Head coach Kevin Gorman.
What we need is we need numbers. We don't, you know, and we're not getting kids out for many sports. And I think it's across the board, not just at Sarah. I think it's all over.
Joey Van Allen's a senior at Sarah. He hopes to be able to save his personal season by playing football at Next Door Athens this fall.
If they give us another option to play football for our senior year, then it is what it is. If it's a different color jersey, if it's a different school. I mean, football is football. We all just want to play a senior season.
If Athens does not agree to a co-op with Sarah, the Sarah High School will only field a JV squad this coming season. Your nightly market report is next, brought to you by Ambassador Advisors. Here's Family Life's Dave Margolotti.
The stock market had a strong opening today, but turned around and lost all of its gains as the morning went on, closing the day with slight losses. Investors are eagerly awaiting inflation numbers that will be released later this week, which will give us some insight into the state of the economy. The Dow today up 29 points, the Nasdaq fell 13, and the S&P 500 was down 5. Ambassador Advisors is a Christian financial planning firm helping faithful stewards do more. Online at ambassadoradvisors.com.
This is the 5 o'clock report on Family Life.
Sellers love high home values, but it's a different story for folks trying to buy a home. I'm Rob West with your MoneyWise Minute. If you're looking to buy, interview at least 3 real estate agents and pick the one with the best track record for helping folks buy homes in your neighborhood of choice and who will stay on top of new listings. And realize that in a seller's market, buyers can't be choosers. The goal is to find an affordable home that meets your needs, not your dream house. To be competitive, you'll have to come in very close to the asking price, if not a little higher. Here again, your agent can help you come up with a realistic opening offer. Keep those things in mind, and you may find yourself packing very soon. We can help you learn to manage your money according to biblical principles when you download the free MoneyWise app. You'll find it on our website at moneywise.org.
All right, coming up on the 5 o'clock report, we ponder one of life's deep questions, namely, just how much is a cheese stick worth?
I'm Kevin Williams, and here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. An unsettled night is ahead. Warm, moist air being acted upon by a cold front will mean some showers and thunderstorms. For tonight, considerable cloudiness, muggy and warm. Waves of showers and thunderstorms across the area with localized drenching downpours and low temperatures in the mid-60s to the low 70s. For tomorrow, still humid, but cooler than today. Variable clouds, some sunshine, some showers and thunderstorms still in the area. High temps, 70s to mid-80s. Then Wednesday is a nice day across New York. Stay mostly sunny, less humid, near 80. Sun and clouds with a thunder shower chance in Pennsylvania with high temperatures mid-70s to the middle-80s.
Thank you very much, Kevin. Finally at 5, thousands of Toronto commuters have been doing a double take as they pass a billboard advertising a single stick of string cheese for sale or trade. The quirky Canadian behind the odd offering is Angel Domingo, who says he found the wayward cheese stick left behind in the refrigerator when he moved into his new Toronto home recently. The snarky ad reads, "Accepting trades for one cheese string, marble flavor, still in original packaging, no lowballs. I know what I have." Domingo, an experienced goods trader on reselling websites, says he's already gotten a lot of offers, too. Perhaps the strangest one so far was to trade it for two Persian cats. He turned them down, though, saying he's holding out for something better. What exactly, he doesn't know, but he says he'll know it when he sees it. Meanwhile, back in reality, he also admits the stunt is costing him enough money to buy a whole lot of cheese sticks, but he's determined to stick it out since the cheese sticks expiration date isn't for a few more months. I think this will be a good time to get out of here. That's the world we live in from Monday, August 8th, 2022. Thank you very much for joining us. I'm Mark Webster, Family Life News.